Hey Roar Nation, John Fuller here, and welcome to episode 53 with Chad Johnson.
Welcome to Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You, the podcast that focuses on Christians that are active in everyday life. Join in as we speak to everyone from successful business owners to educators to athletes about their faith and how it helps them reach out and revolutionize those around them to do the same. And now, get ready to roar with your host, the voice of manifestation, John Fuller.
Yeah, Chad, you fired up, buddy. Ready to go?
Yes, I'm so honored and stoked. So yeah, I'm fired up. Sunday afternoon in flip-flops and shorts, ready.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. I'm sitting here in a wet bathing suit, a t-shirt, and a hat. This is not my normal podcast attire, but we're going to make it work.
Whatever it takes.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. All right. So, Chad, real quick, I'm going to jump in to your bio. It says, Roar Nation, 12 years ago, Chad, believe it or not, was living an awesome life, successful in Seattle. He was in the Christian music industry, climbing the career ladder. But like most people, they know about Jesus, but they don't totally know Jesus. So, that being said, Chad was addicted to drugs, pornography, and was struggling to live a life of passion with the Lord. I could go on, but the story only gets better with Chad, so I'm going to let him finish. So, Chad, I want to hear more about your amazing story, your passion for Jesus, man, and what you do, my friend.
Yeah, well, thanks, dude. Thanks again for having me on and for your willingness to include me and the rest of the crew on the podcast. So it is crazy. You know, I grew up as a missionary kid living in the Caribbean and also in South America. And so I always had a passion for music, but I was always, like I was telling you earlier, worthless when it came to being able to do anything musical. So I can't sing. I'm tone deaf. I can't read music. I can barely even clap in church, which is why I like going to a church that doesn't really clap so that I don't throw anybody off. I just think that God has such an incredible sense of humor that he still is choosing to use the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And I just think it pleased the Lord to take a guy that was clueless from a musical production or musical process kind of standpoint and then say, you know what, I am going to anoint him and empower him to have an extremely successful career in the Christian music world, which my job was basically to find and sign and develop bands. And the whole thing, I believe, was really just to set me up for a position, an opportunity of obedience. And so, yeah, I was living in Seattle with my family, and we loved Seattle. It was beautiful. Everything was great from an outside perspective looking in. And it was the first time in my life I was actually making money. You know, like my wife had studied nursing, so she had invested in all my stupid ideas early on about starting record labels and music stores and venues and all kinds of crazy stuff. And she was basically the one supporting us through everything. And so for the first time I have a job, and I'm just thrilled because my wife wasn't the one that was providing for us. And yet, like you just read, I was totally living a double life. I was completely addicted to a daily dependence on marijuana, on pornography, and honestly on myself. I was really hooked on pride and my own ego. I was a workaholic. So the whole idea of loving Jesus or anybody else during that time was just didn't even connect with my heart until one morning driving into the office, busy rush hour, Seattle traffic. And I just want to get into the office, you know, like I got to get to the office. I've got to start my day, got to make calls, got to check in, all the things. And I just felt like God asked me this question in a way only he could, just drew me down from all of these, maybe the high mountain that I've been hanging out on. And it's like he convicted me in a moment simply by asking me a five-worded question: why are you fighting me?
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah,
That's what I love about the Lord, because it's not like it's condemnation. It's just like It's just enough to hit you deep, and at the same time make you think like you're like, oh, that hurt.
yeah. No, that's exactly right. And so, as much as I was not expecting that encounter, I just remember like all of a sudden becoming extremely aware of all my neighbors and in bumper to bumper traffic. And I hope that none of them were noticing the fact that I was weeping like a baby. And I just began confessing my sin and just acknowledging to God, you know, I'm so sorry for fighting you. And I remember praying a prayer kind of like, Jesus, please write whatever story you want over my life. And so if you fast forward a couple of years, I'm
wait,
at
wait,
a...
Wait, time out though. Because that's an awesome moment, dude. So
yeah, like, yeah, it was.
Had you ever had like a Holy Spirit encounter like that before? Where, I mean, obviously it was very tangible in your car because you were feeling God's presence.
Yes, I had. There was a time where when I had first come to the Lord as a teenager and I went through college and all that, I was really vibrant. I was fully alive. I was taking risks. I was in love with the Lord, reading the Word, you know, just like everything about Jesus was alive in my heart. But over time, I think that my love, my first love, dwindled and diminished to the point where I just didn't even care. And so it had been many years since I had encountered the Lord like that in my car. And that was, I guess that would have been about 12 years ago. And still to this day, that encounter has marked my life. And it's, I ended up a couple of years after that being at a conference on worship. And during the worship service, again, I sort of still small voice heard the Holy Spirit giving me four instructions. And I was like, well, like, I don't know. It still felt so wild that the King of the universe would consider talking to me. You know, like I still dealt with like this idea that I really wasn't worth being talked to by God of all people. And so when he still small voice spoke as loud as I had ever heard in my heart, four things. One, make your life all about Jesus. Two, stop worrying about money. Three, make disciples of artists and others. And then four, just give your life away. I was as high as I could have ever been on any substance except higher.
I was just going to say, but you weren't smoking this time, right?
No, I wasn't smoking anything. There was no other influence on me except for the Holy Spirit. In that moment, caused me to come home. And I told my wife, you know, I talked to my pastor, my parents, my friends, my wife, all these people. And I kept looking for someone who would tell me, Chad, you're insane. That was not God. And no, he's not telling you to quit your job and go follow him. Like, that's a stupid idea. Don't do it. And I just was looking, like craving someone with a little bit of realistic perspective to keep me from getting off the boat I was about to get off of. And so I remember calling my wife, heading into the office. I was, you know, nice executive office, music career guy. And on the way in, I just knew that I knew that that was the day I had to put in my resignation. And so I call my wife and it's like, you know, have you ever seen Jerry Maguire?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad because oftentimes I ask that and it instantly ages me. And but it still, it works and it's perfect for me. It was that Jerry Maguire moment where I just knew that I knew that I had to do this and that God was the one inspiring it. And so I put in my resignation and I've been sort of awkwardly stumbling after Jesus ever since. I started a nonprofit called Come and Live because I've been working with all these artists. I felt like what I had been doing was raising up entertainers. And when the Holy Spirit spoke to me at that conference, even though maybe to an outside ear, making disciples of artists may have seemed normal. Well, Chad, you're in the music industry. Of course, that's what you were doing. But it really wasn't the focus or at the forefront of my attention. And so to begin the process of God, I want to invest in artists to raise them up so that they can go outside of the church and preach Jesus anywhere they go, whether they're on stage or off stage, boldly sharing who Jesus is, raising up the cross of Christ, knowing that all men are going to be drawn unto him. And I just thought, man, what, like God, what if someday artists, Christian artists everywhere were known for their love, for their joy, for their peace, for their patience, for their kindness, for their goodness, their faithfulness, their self-control. You know, what if they were known for the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and people coming to Jesus left and right? And so that's what I've been doing. It's been 9 years of the most insane ride ever. Just try, you know, daily saying yes to Jesus.
So I didn't even get a chance to ask you this when we first met. And I'm just curious, what artists have you got to work with? Because I remember going back, I think we're about the same age anyway. So
Yeah.
Probably listen to a lot of the same stuff, but who have you got the privilege to work with?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So I'm 43 now, and I just feel like it's a total, I don't know, it's just amazing to know that age in the Lord's eyes is just a sweet opportunity to grow up in Him.
Amen.
To get a little closer to Him. So every year is a bit closer to Jesus. But I worked for a record company called Tooth & Nail Records up in Seattle. The time I was there, early 2000s, they were really hot with bands like MXPX and the Supertones and bands.
I remember Supertones, okay.
Yeah.
I listened to Christ Safari too, which I saw somebody on their... Was that on your site or something?
Yeah. Well, that's hilarious. Yeah, that's a band we work with now. So
I loved them back in the day. I used to listen, because my all-time favorite CD growing up was Legend, Bob Marley.
Yes.
And what was funny, though, is when I got saved, part of my process of the Lord told me was to get rid of all my music. And that's different for everybody. So I want my listeners, please hear that. That was the walk journey I was on. And I literally got rid of about 300 CDs. I listened to everything from, this was crazy, but I had classical music all the way stuff to Rob Zombie. And who was I, like Rob Zombie, Korn, and R&B and everything in between.
Well, That's crazy.
So this is funny. I get rid of all my CDs, and I'm down.
And then you're like, oh, what do I do?
No.
Nothing to listen to.
I get down to my Bob Marley CD, and I'm like, so I'm negotiating this one with God. I'm like, okay, Lord, I got rid of all this music, Lord.
Yeah.
But this CD, like, this is my favorite.
Yeah. We can't let this one go.
I'm like, I can't. There's an attachment to this, and the Lord's like, no, you got to let them all go. And dude, and my wife let it, and that was like the hardest thing, because music was such a big deal for me.
Yeah.
But fast forward like 10 years, and we're going to get back to all your story. I just wanted to share this. But
No, that's, I love it. This is great. Thank you.
Fast forward like 10 years, and I remember sitting at my computer, iTunes had just kind of come out, and I'm scrolling, and I was like, I wonder if Bob Marley CD's on here, Legend. And I look it up, and I was like, and in that time, I mean, and I do, I just, I had a walk with the Lord then where I asked, and I said, Lord, can I buy this? And I heard as clear as day, and the Lord was like, yeah, you can buy it. And I was like, no, I'm pretty sure that was me that, like, surely you didn't say that. Yeah, I was like, there's.
Yeah, that just came up with that God thought.
I was like, there's no way. And just plain as day, I heard the Holy Spirit say, yeah, you can buy it. And it was funny, because all I had listened to for probably over 8 years was nothing but Christian music, because I had retrained, or I'd remodeled my mind. And when I bought it, I listened to about 4 songs, and I was like, yeah, that was cool, but I wasn't pulled to it anymore. And I automatically wanted to go back and listen to just worship music. And I was like, oh, thanks, Lord, that was good. But my heart wasn't there anymore. And that's why the Lord was like, yeah, go for it.
Yeah. And that's exactly how I felt when I was leaving Tooth & Nail. As much as I loved the record company and so many bands, there was a band called Amber Lynn that I worked with, and a band called Under Oath, and quite a few bands that especially in the Christian underground had become very successful and were doing really great. But I had, just like you, had discovered a passion for worship and discovered a passion for filling your soul with music that was ministering to you at a way deeper level. That's how I felt about the music world I was in. I was just like, man, I just don't care anymore. I just want to go worship Jesus. It was like the light bulb had turned on in my heart to pursue Jesus with everything that I was. And so, yeah, it just didn't matter as much. So anyway, that's fun that the Lord says, yeah, John, go back and buy it, just to prove the point that you're a changed man, and it doesn't hold the same. It's not the same story because you've grown, and that's amazing.
Yeah, it was good stuff. So Chad, I want to go here. I love stories as far as what God has done, and I want to hear more about what God did in your life. So from the point of where you left, you in your bio, you talked about being addicted to porn, drugs, all that.
Yeah.
Was that was there a low point where you're just like, man, this has just got to stop, and you just, God just, besides just showing up in your car, were you ready just to go for it?
Yeah, my wife, Beth, we've been married 21 years now and have two amazing kids, Sydney and David. She and I had gone out on a date one night up on Queen Anne Hill in Seattle, just north of downtown. And I remember sitting outside on, I don't know, it may have even been after our dinner. We may have gone and gotten some coffee, and we were sitting outside, and it was a beautiful Seattle evening. And she, I don't remember exactly what she said, but I can recall her essentially saying, "You, Chad, you're no longer the same person that I married, and I don't know who you are, and I'm really afraid of who you're becoming."
Wow.
Yeah. And it was like, even though I don't think she meant, I know for a fact she did not mean, "I'm about to divorce you," but it was the thought that came to my mind was like, man, I think my wife was just telling me in short form that her leaving me wouldn't be that crazy, even though that wasn't really what she was communicating. That's how heavy her words came across to me. And I think that she traditionally has just been a person of prayer that's quiet. Wait, we're the extreme opposite. I don't know if you like the Enneagram.
Brother, my wife and I, dude, are polar opposites, brother. So I feel
yeah, so we are too. So she's on the Enneagram thing. She's a one. I'm a seven. So she's the reformer. I'm the enthusiast. And it's just perfect how the Lord brought us together, because she can just quietly, I think, go before the Lord and say, you know, "Lord, my husband's a complete douchebag and you know, really needs help. Is the farthest thing from Jesus. Would you please redeem his life?" And he's like, I could pray for years, you know, "God, redeem me." And he'd just be like, "Well, just take your time. I'm just going to be patient with you." But it seems like with my wife, he just fires off these responses. And so I think the moment that morning in the car was a direct correlation to her praying and the words that she had shared. But because, yeah, man, my life, I was spiraling and I was shipping drugs back to myself from Amsterdam. I almost stepped into a red light district opportunity while I was traveling, like so many things that even though I hadn't cheated on my wife in the flesh, I had cheated on her thousands of times.
I got to ask this because my mind just naturally just is
yeah,
going
yeah.
So
yeah.
Is this common? I mean, okay, so people automatically think Christian music. So they're going to automatically think, you know, well, they love God and all these things because it's quote unquote Christian. I'm taking it that's not really the case everywhere.
Well, that's an interesting question. I think that what I know is that I was working as, on one hand, I could put on a smile. I would still, had you asked me, "Chad, are you a Christian?" I probably would have said, because I knew enough to answer properly, I would have said, "Oh yeah, man, I'm a Christian. I go to church and blah, blah, blah." But I feel like it's one of those things where getting the plank out of our own eye is the first step to helping brothers with specs.
Okay, so you say that. So what's the tell me for you, what's the difference then between, you could have answered it right. So yes, I go to church. Jesus died for my sin. You know all the right answers. So I would basically say you know about Jesus, right?
Yeah, yeah, correct.
What's the difference then between then and now?
Well, it's intimacy. It's relational connection and a first love passion for saying, "Jesus, I'm willing to take up my cross daily and deny myself and follow you wherever you want me to go." That's way different than just telling, putting on a smile and telling people what they want to hear. So the reason I say plant, you know, you asked, I just gave you the longest winded answer to a really simple question. And it really comes down to, I want to honor people in the Christian music industry. And I feel like the best answer is, I was a guy walking around with a plank. And I'm not sure that, I think most people probably just had a speck going on in their eyes, you know, and I'm just walking around hitting everybody. So because I'm an enthusiast, on a good day, I'm pointing everybody to life in Jesus, and I'm just sharing and praying for people, and I'm living a really loving God and neighbors kind of lifestyle. On a bad day, I'm turning everybody into everything they weren't ever supposed to step into. And so I wouldn't say,
Chad, I want to say this. So I'm not trying to like say anything against the Christian.
No, I know you're not.
And the reason I'm bringing that up is this, because I think that people that are in entertainment, it's a gift. God's given them the gift to be in entertainment, without a doubt. Yeah. But I believe without a doubt, they also have the hardest arena per se, or mountain as we call them, to be on top of. And I heard you talk about this on your podcast, and this is why. Because anytime you're in front of the stage, I was talking to the guy, I just forgot his name, from King and Country. We interviewed him. And he talked about being, you're in front of 20 and 30,000 people and they're worshiping. And at any point, you know, think about what Lucifer was, the head of worship. And that was, and he was beautiful and majestic, and he was music. But what happens is when all that stuff, it gets like turned towards you, it's so easy to not turn your heart. I mean, I get to speak and I preach on stage, and sometimes it's so easy, it can be, to lose focus of what it's about. Is it about me and how well I'm performing, or is it about how well I'm delivering God's message to allow his message to penetrate people's hearts? But I say that to say, with all due respect, I think musicians, especially in the Christian industry, have the hardest in speakers position, because I think they're so attacked by just a spirit of like adultery and look at me.
Addiction. You're dead right there. I think my experience in the Christian music industry was that I worked with many incredible people. And one example of the state of the artist I was working with was a tour slash a little charity tour slash retreat I put together called Come and Live, Come and Die. And I wanted to call the whole tour Come and Die, because I love that Dietrich Bonhoeffer quote: when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. And I thought that's the best name for a little like hardcore band tour. And so I went to the label and I said, guys, can we let's call it Come and Die. And they said, are you crazy? Those are hardcore bands. If somebody shows up and actually dies, then we're going to get sued. And so of course we ended up calling the retreat Come and Die. But at the retreat, I tell these about a room of about 40 artists that I work with. I said, guys, I've just come clean with my wife, and I need to come clean with you that I've been addicted to porn, to drugs, to myself, to work, to blah, blah, blah. And what happened, that little spark of confession turned into 6 hours of guys saying, I'm addicted to cocaine. I wish that as the bass player in the band that I was the lead singer, because I envy your position. Or I envy your marriage to your wife and I lust after your wife. Or heavy, heavy stuff. And every time we'd lay our hands on that person that had just confessed, and we'd begin crying. And so it turned into 6 hours of just confessing and then praying and receiving forgiveness. And so that night really was sort of the beginning of the end of my season in the music industry, because I saw, I caught a glimpse of revival in music. And I was like, that's what God's wired me for. I've got to go after, you know, that whole, like, seeing a whole world come alive in Jesus. So yeah, man, you're right. There's so much weight on artists, and it really, anyone who has a public platform or public position of authority, there's going to be greater weight, and we ought to be living at a higher standard and a greater level of righteousness to the Lord, and just saying, you know, God, set me apart so I don't do anything stupid with your name attached to it, especially.
You know what's funny, dude? I don't even have a Christian bumper sticker on my car because I
wow,
cannot,
what's wrong with you?
I cannot tell you how many times I've accidentally cut people off because my work truck.
Right.
I've gotten flipped off more times than I can count. And I'm like, if I have a sticker or my church sticker on my truck, they're going to hate Christians because of me.
Yeah. And what a great challenge for the Lord to say, John, I'm going to pull you into a place. A time is coming where you can put whatever sticker you want on your car, and that thing that bothers you won't, you know, because that's the same story with the Bob Marley CD. You know, it's just like, as the Lord grows us and as we sharpen each other, we ought to be able to say, hey, once upon a time, Chad, I really struggled with getting upset while driving or whatever, road rage or whatever you want to call it. And the Lord takes us through that. And I think that's where I've been. It's been 9 years of God pulverizing the former me so that he can mold me and shape me into a Chad that's surrendered. And I think that's, you know, that's really all he's wanted is not like Chad, is Chad going to have a great ministry? Is Chad going to change the world? Is Chad going to do, he loves all that stuff. He cares about all that stuff. But really, I think he's saying, is Chad willing to live surrendered to me every day and to say yes when I'm calling? And I'd rather just be like, God, you know, can't we just do like a one time, like you ask the question and I'll say yes and we're good forever? And like, do I really have to wake up every day and say, God, I'm willing to do whatever it takes and I'm willing to go anywhere and do anything? Yeah. So a few years ago, I was in New Zealand and I felt like the Lord challenged me with this prayer that by grace, he's helped me pray most days, not every day, but most days. And it goes like this: Jesus, please give me one opportunity to treat someone else today the way that you would. And that prayer has become the theme of my life, of the whole risk-taking, the 1,000 risks thing that you and I talked about last week on the phone. Like what God's done with my life in helping me look to others and the way that I could treat them as I'd want to be treated. And just like, God, but you know, there's times when the flesh gets in the way and it's like, man, Lord, I don't want to love anybody. You know, I don't want to step out. I don't want to take risks. I don't want to do any of that. And he's so faithful, you know, he's so kind. He's so willing to push us past ourselves and our own stupidity and our own, our fear, you know, and our insecurity and our depression and whatever the thing is and push us into him.
Chad, I want to jump into 1,000 risks that we talked about because I think it's a beautiful story. But before we go there, I do want to jump back into the retreat because you said something.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sure.
That our listeners need, I feel like. So at that point, you had kind of mentioned, you were like, God, this is what I'm created to do. And at that point, I want to know, you get this feeling inside of you, I've been there, where you're like, this is what I'm called to do. This is what I want to do.
Yeah.
What did you do about that at that moment? Because it's different between like you had that moment, but somewhere you got to step into, like you almost have this responsibility, like you're kind of like, oh, crap, because I now that I know it,
right?
But I'm not quite sure how to get there. And somewhere I got a bridge between the two. And I want the bridge story, my friend.
Wow. Well, man, can I pause and honor you for a second? At our church, we have this thing called honor time. And I just want to honor you for what I love most about your getting to know your heart and the podcast that God's called you into is how insanely gifted you are at keeping a podcast conversational. That is a true gift. And so I just want to honor you, John, for that. And I feel like, man, I'm actually just having a conversation with you. And if anybody else listens to this, then it's icing on the cake of what I got out of it. So dude, thank you. You know, yeah, the first thing I remember doing is I remember calling my boss. His name is Brandon. And I called him and I said, man, I need to tell you just how incredible this tour is going and just how amazing this is. And I remember being on the phone with him in a 15 passenger van with a bunch of these band guy friends of mine, and on the phone telling him with great passion and excitement what God was doing. And I remember sort of, you know, that those times when you can have a conversation with someone, but you're also, it feels like you're being pulled, you're almost pulled out of your body and you're looking in on the conversation as like a third person. You're like, wait, like, dude, listen to yourself.
Yeah.
Do you realize what you're doing right now? You are telling your boss that you are as thrilled as you've ever been because the grace of God has just been poured out in a way you haven't seen in years and years and years. And it's like you've been living in dry and parched lands, and all of a sudden you've come to a waterfall out in the desert and you can just go splashing and playing and hanging out in it. And so after that call, I remember thinking, I was really excited on that call. That's weird. Like, man, I wonder, like, what's going on? You know, like, I just think the Holy Spirit was ambushing me. So, you know, having a similar call with my wife. But even at that, that would have been 2005, December of 2005. And I didn't leave the music industry until January of 2009. So I guess, you know, at least the 3-year sort of period. But I definitely remember a very clear, like, stepping into the call that God had placed on my life.
Okay. And, but let me ask you this. So that's great, because a lot of times people say, okay, aha, this is what I was created to do, right?
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
they think, well, so I need to call up my boss and quit. And that's so far from the truth. I mean, I'm not to right. say that doesn't happen. Like, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's definitely not what I did.
Okay. But what I love about that is, though, is you had 3 years. So during yeah. those 3 years, though, what did you do? Like, all of a sudden, you have this weight of responsibility to say, okay, I'm a changed person. I know yeah. I'm new. God's calling me to this. I need to live a higher standard. Like, what did you do about that?
No, that's so good. Yeah, man. During those 3 years, and it's, oh man, I think that so often what we want is an encounter with God that leads to instant transformation, and that we can just go, oh dude, I had the encounter, now I'm zapped into this new blessed life. And yet oftentimes we see in scripture that Jesus has no problem, that God has no problem pressing the pause button on someone's life. And that's what he was doing. I mean, he was pressing pause on me, but I was reading the word again, like it actually was exciting. I was talking to my wife about Jesus. I was praying with her. I was beginning to pray with my band guys. I was stopping. I'd read two books that totally challenged my life in that season.
You can't give them away yet.
I can't? All right.
that's like five questions down the road.
Yeah, all right. So there weren't two books. Pretend that never happened.
Okay.
Jedi Mind Tricks. No one heard that.
No, but, it's a lead magnet. We're leading people to listen to the end of the show.
Yeah. Okay. Nice. Okay. Well, that's fun. That's great, dude. You're way smarter than I am. But hey, I think what the Lord was doing was preparing my heart to move away from the Christian music industry. And he was just saying, you know, Chad, I wired you for a life of risk, for a life of revival, but I first need you to just hang out with me. And you just got to fall in love with me. Because if you run out after, oh, I want to do this and I want to do that without having first come to Jesus, then I probably would have run the risk of being one of those people that came to the Lord and said, Lord, Lord, you know, didn't I prophesy? Didn't I cast out demons? Didn't I heal the sick? And he's like, depart from me. I never knew you, because we weren't actually friends. You're just running out doing crazy stuff in my name, but it wasn't actually intimacy and friendship. So I think it was 3 years of friendship building.
That's a great answer. So I love that. Okay, so we'll make these kind of quick, because I want to jump into 1,000 Risks, because I love it. And I want to hear at least one or two stories. But that being said, real quick, what do you feel like your biggest strength and gifting is in what you do?
Oh, man. I think that God has gifted me relationally to just connect with people wherever I'm at. I would say that's for sure a gift. It's also a weakness, because I can engage with a stranger and all of a sudden find that we're both crying, that we're both like, that I'm praying for this person. Maybe they even pray for me. And it's this crazy Holy Spirit moment. But what I really suck at is maintenance. So I'm really great at like, I'm a visionary. I'm a dreamer. I'm someone who can come up with projects and ideas and all these different things. But seeing stuff through to the end, like actually delivering, I'm really horrible at it. And I really got to ask God to help me. And he brings people into my life that can help me do that, you know. So I don't know. I guess if there's two things, I'd say that just learning to treat people the way I want to be treated relationally. And then the whole like just being a dreamer and just being someone who loves casting vision and just thinking outside the box. And man, Lord, what could it look like if this happened or that happened?
I better be careful hanging out with you too much, because we might get lost in like.
Yeah, likewise. I know.
I could go
two
for
peas
hours.
Hanging out in the pod.
Yes, that is scary. So, okay, my next question is the biggest thing that God's stirring inside of you right now, but I feel like that's going to lead into 1,000 Risks. I hope. If it doesn't,
then what other new project are
yes.
you working on?
So let's go into, give me a brief description for the sake of time of what 1,000 yeah. risks are, and then I want like one of those home run awesome stories, and then I want a strikeout too, because
yeah, that's Perfect.
There's two. Okay, so tell us about 1,000 Risks.
So the first question you asked right before 1,000 Risks was what am I most excited about, what the Lord's doing? And yeah, I mean, thankfully, even though 1,000 Risks started at the end of 2013, the Lord really has put the theme of risk or living risk or, you know, however you want to title experience of risk has been a recurring theme in my life. So that is an area, whether it's through Come and Live, whether it's through 1,000 Risks or anything else that I still feel the Lord has really given me a ton of passion for. So 1,000 Risks started as a dare from my wife after she read a book. Can I share the book or do I need to hold off on this one too?
You can do it. You can give this one.
Okay. All right. I have permission. Okay. So this book was called 1,000 Gifts by an author, a female Canadian farmer's wife named, now it's just a funny oxymoron, female Canadian authors, you know, a farmer's wife, but her name's Anne Voskamp, and she wrote this book, and it's all about living a life of gratitude. And so I was telling my wife on a date, you know, honey, I'm thinking like, I just want to grow in Jesus more. And I feel like this is it was the end of December, 2012, last day. And I just wanted some kind of like New Year's resolution. And I felt like maybe I should just step out and pray for every sick person that I ever come across that Jesus would heal them. You know, like 1 year of just praying for every single sick person. And she said, well, what about all the sick people that don't have physical, you know, outward signs of being sick? And I was like, oh, that, you know, that's a perfect example of my wife and her challenging me. And she said, oh, what if you took 1,000 risks and then wrote down the good, the bad, and the ugly, like how basically take the risk and then write how people respond. And I was like, as soon as she said it, it was like all like the bells and whistles and light bulbs of the Holy Spirit were going off in my brain and in my heart. And I was just like, like instantly buzzing to life. And that began a process that took me, I think it was about 742 days, where I just said, all right, Jesus, I just want one opportunity today to love somebody the way a little more like you would, to bless somebody, to pray healing over somebody, to give a prophetic encouraging word to somebody, to buy someone groceries, to tip excessively, whatever the situation might have been, but really just to listen to the Holy Spirit and develop greater obedience in loving God by loving others. And so that's, man, it's been a crazy, yeah, totally crazy journey. The two stories, oh my goodness, it's so hard to think of just two. All right, I think this is Holy Spirit, please help me, which is a real, I mean that really, really genuinely, because out of 1,000 different risks, I experienced more miracles in 742 days than ever in the 40 something years or 30 something years of my life prior. So, and yet I also experience all kinds of really awkward moments. So the subtitle currently of the book, which is of course possibly, there's always a possibility it will change, is Fighting Fear for an Awkward, Awesome Life with Jesus. And I don't know how to express risks without including what you asked. Like, hey, give me one of the awkward stories. So, but I'll start with awesome.
Dude, I have so many. I just love hearing them because I have so many of them. Prophetically, like God gives me a word for somebody. And then, like, even when I was first practicing, I got to share this story with you.
No, you have to. You're in now.
Okay, so we're learning prophetic, hearing God's voice. I'm about a year into this with my best friend. We owned a business together. We're sitting in a granite shop, and we walk in there, and this guy is, he's a mess, dude, to say the least, right? And we sit down, and I hear the Lord tell me, he says, codeine. And automatically, I know that the Lord showed me this guy's hooked on codeine. Wow. Well, so anybody that knows anything that's been trained properly and prophetic, and I want to say that properly, the proper thing to say is, okay, God, what are you saying about this person that you want me to share that's life-giving? So the idiot, I'm going to use your word, douchebag, that I am, I say, hey man, I just heard the Lord and I'm hearing the word codeine. And man, are you okay? So, dude,
that's amazing.
Freaking retarded.
But what did he do?
So the guy clammed up automatically and he was
of course, yeah.
like, what? Yeah, dude, I'm hooked on crack or whatever. I mean, the guy was smoking dope in the back. And wow. The funny thing was, is, you know, I believe that either it'll be me or somebody else had the opportunity to speak into his life. But I say that to say is I knew better. But yeah. For whatever reason, I knew not to say what I did. I could have went 100 ways. I could have spoken life into that guy instead of saying, hey, idiot, you hooked on codeine? I mean, or I should say, hey, idiot, John.
Yeah.
But that being said, I want to bring that story because that's part of the growth process. Like, I wouldn't have grown. Like, God, it's not like God was mad at me for it. It was just kind of one of those. I walked out of there and my friend looked at me and goes, I cannot believe you just said that. And I was like, Yep, that's me. Yep,
that's me. What's up, everybody?
Yes. Okay. So I want to hear your story.
Yeah, no, that's amazing.
Story.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. So yeah, the first one that comes to mind, it's kind of, I'd say it's a little bit of both failure and huge success. And I find that as I've grown as a risk taker, that failure and success always hang out together. And I don't know anybody who's gotten to success apart from moving past failure. You know, like as much as I wish I could tell you and everybody else, hey, don't worry, there's never any failure as risk takers. It's all success. I'd be lying and everybody would be throwing stones at me sooner than later. But I was in Denver, Colorado with a group of leaders from a YWAM base where I was teaching and Youth with a Mission. We were sitting down at this really nice restaurant and we were eating dinner together. And one of the guys said, hey, Chad, which spiritual gift do you wrestle with the most? And I said, man, probably the prophetic, because like you, I've had plenty of those moments where I thought something was really prophetic and it turned out just to be really pathetic. So yes. I was like, I'd like stress out over it. And I said, for example, our waiter, whose name was Aaron, appeared to me like and this is, man, me just being really genuine and trying to be really authentic about how much of an idiot I can be. I read him as a starving artist, homosexual, drug addict, lifeless kind of person in a pretty judgmental kind of way. That was really my heart posture, which, surprise, surprise, I'm struggling to hear God as I'm like equally annoyed with the fact that this person isn't just like me, you know, so I tell this friend who's just asked me what I struggle with. I say, you know, for our waiter, I've been asking the Holy Spirit to give me a word for him all night and I have nothing. And so I just say, you know, the only thing I know to do is say, Holy Spirit, please, you know, if there's anything stopping this, please get it out of the way. And almost immediately I saw this mental picture. It wasn't like an open vision. It's just like a mental, like a mind thought. And in it, I envision a record player, like a really old time record player with a record spinning on it. And I immediately think, you know, I begin to come to kind of like the coding thing. I begin to jump to conclusions and I think, oh, this guy must be wanting to start his own like vinyl shop or something. I don't know, something like music hipster related. It was what came to my head. And so Aaron comes back to our table and I said, Aaron, you know, all of us are Christians and I'm learning to hear from God. Can I share something with you? And he's like, really, you know, totally taken aback. And he's like, I guess so. And I just said, you know, I share the whole record player thing. And immediately I run off with my own assumptions. And I say, you know, are you thinking about starting a record a shop or something? And he says, okay, I can stop you right there. And I look at everybody at the table and I kind of wink at them like, this is when he says I'm crazy. And he says, my mother just passed away. And the last thing I did with her before she died was play old vinyl records to her on an old record machine. And I, all of us, just, it's like the Holy Spirit just fell. And he said, I don't know what to do, and walked away. And I'm like, all of us are like, what? Like, dude, that's insane. And I was like, okay, never mind what I said about, you know, before, you know, this is crazy. So he finally comes back and I just said, Aaron, you know, the reason that Jesus showed us that was he wants to remind you that he loves you and that he knows pain. He knows what you're going through. Can we just pray for you right now? And he said, sure. And so we surrounded him and just started praying over him and just reminding him, you know, God loves you. God cares for you. So even though I was struggling to hear,
the Lord wasn't struggling to speak at all. And what he spoke to Aaron was exactly what he needed to hear in the place of his greatest pain, you know? And so, I don't know, I just feel like that's a perfect example of how Jesus does what only Jesus can do.
That's a beautiful story, man. I love when God speaks to people's hearts that way, because prophetically, sometimes I'm a visionary too. Sometimes I get visions or I hear things. It's so easy to assume, like you did in that situation, like, oh, it's a record shop or it's this or it's that.
Yeah.
And it's like, and it's so simplistic. Like, it's like, hey, what does that mean to you? And then he tells you.
Right.
Oh man, the beauty in that, because that literally hit so deep, because that was a personal moment for him.
Yeah, yeah. So then one of the awkward moments to balance the awesome was, I was in Walmart and I was taking a group of people out to pray for people and just to help them develop risk. And I love being able to train others and invest in others and serve others in helping them become risk takers, because that's the kingdom. You know, the kingdom's not, John's amazing at taking risks and Chad's amazing at taking risks and look at how amazing we are. You know, my pastor has this incredible quote where he says, Christianity is not you being amazing, but you being amazed. And I think that's like, oh, that's what I want to capture, you know, in my life with Jesus. And so we're at Walmart. We walk up to this guy that's got a cane, that he's holding a cane and he's got pants on. And I walk up and I said, and I noticed him walking and I said, hey, you know, what's causing your limp? And he said, oh, it's my left leg. And I said, oh, well, can we pray that Jesus heals you? And he says, sure. And then he pulls up his left pant leg and it's a prosthetic limb. And I'm just like, oh my goodness, what do I do? You know, like, and I literally choked in that moment. And I just was like, okay, well, God bless you. Bye. And I peaced out on him. Like, I didn't even try. I just walked out. I mean, thankfully, by the grace of God, I've prayed for many disappearing limbs to grow back. I've not yet seen that, but God's given me grace still to do what I believe is the more Christ-like approach, which is, hey, God, if God's the God of the impossible, then let's bring this to him and not just assume that this is hard. Like, really, he can cure your headache or your back problems or your whatever, but when it comes to regenerating a limb, he's stunted? Like, really? So maybe I've got a faith problem to confess, you know, which is true all the time. But so anyway, that was just a great reminder. And so the whole, of course, all the people that were with me did ask, and they said, hey, so what about that one? I said, man, guys, I just have to confess to you that just threw, as soon as he pulled his pant leg up, I was so thrown off guard. I didn't know what to do. I'm sorry, like, Jesus, I'm sorry. And yeah, man, so I just think that the Lord's pleased when we obey, even if we don't see the results that we're believing for. You know, I don't know. I just believe that obedience is ours and that results are God's. And if we entrust him with the results, then it makes us stepping into obedience a whole lot easier. So, yeah. So that the two awkward, awesome stories.
I love
awesome
it, man.
Awkward.
Thank you for sharing that with us. Okay, so
yeah.
Let's go into books. You got two books that were awesome. I want to hear about them.
Yeah, thanks. So I'm glad you remember, because I would have, because of my personality, I've so far moved myself away from that point of the conversation that I never would have remembered. Like, people say, if you've ever seen the movie Up, there's a character.
Dude, I have the same problem. It's the one.
Did we talk? I'm sure we did talk about this.
No, we didn't talk about this, but my friends used to call me Hemi. The one that runs around, it's another cartoon character, like, that goes 1,000 miles an hour and just runs around.
Yeah, yeah.
I have the same issue. I have notes in front of me, so that's how I remember to go back.
All right. That's your secret. I'm glad you just revealed your secret. That is helpful. Now I feel like a better human. Well, people call me Doug, the dog from Up, all the time, because he's always like squirrel and like chasing down something. So the two books are Don't Waste Your Life by John Piper. That book destroyed me. I was like, no, I'm wasting my life. This is miserable. But the Holy Spirit really brought conviction to me as I read that book. And then the other book is called The Irresistible Revolution by Shane Claiborne. And it's basically about living a life of service to the poor, which I am horrible at. But I want to grow. And so that book helped me to just begin recognizing opportunities to serve the poor in a way that really sort of stretched me and took me out of my comfort. So yeah, they're the two books. Thank you for keeping notes.
Absolutely. Okay. Is there a resource that you would, that kind of helps you in your everyday walk or something like that, mm-hmm. that you would like to share with our listeners?
Ooh, man, is there a resource? Well, I'll just say that I think what's helped me most recently has been, there's a lot of resources. I listen to a lot of different pastors and teachers, and I watch YouTube videos and obviously read the Word, and I read a lot of books. But what I think the one thing that has most recently blown my mind is a documentary, a free documentary on YouTube called The Last Reformation. And it's by, I think it's a Danish guy. I'm pretty sure it's a Danish guy. And this, I mean, it's just crazy. This dude's going all over, and his whole mantra is to kickstart believers into modeling a Christianity along the lines of the Book of Acts. And so he's just like, hey, we're going to see people healed. We're going to see people saved. We're going to see people baptized in water. We're going to see people baptized in the Spirit. And this is all just out in public. This isn't like, come to my big conference and you guys are going to see crazy stuff. This is like, we're at the grocery store and we're like, someone just got healed. They got saved. They just were completely surrendered to the Lord. And now we're like, where do we baptize them? It's crazy. So anyway, The Last Reformation has been a huge help to me. And I don't know, I've been really encouraged by Todd White, you know, which I'm sure you have as well. He's just been such a stud of a Jesus reminder in my life. And people like Dan Moeller and Bill Johnson. And
Love Bill Johnson, man.
Yeah, so many people. It's funny, man. I hang out with a lot of reformers, and I attend a really amazing reformed church. And so I'm this funny, like charismatic, hanging out with all the reformers kind of guy. I don't really know what or who I am in the context of denominations or where I fit spiritually. I just know that I keep falling in love with Jesus, and I want nothing other than to stay in love with him. And I just feel like the Lord's been doing a lot to help me maybe communicate with others that haven't yet had the same experience or aren't totally sure. Like, man, are charismatics safe? Like, I don't really know. Like the last time, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I just think, you know, Lord, I want to somehow be all, you know, all things to all people. And so help me to do that. Help me to actually be able to go places, whether it's the Middle East or whether it's Murfreesboro, Tennessee, or anywhere in between, where I can actually connect because I am submitting and surrender to your Spirit.
Amen, dude. Okay, so last question. Nobody gets past this one. I want to know, do you remember the movie Big?
Tom Hanks.
He gets to go back. He does the time machine. He puts the quarter in. The genie sends him back. Do you remember?
Dude, I feel like the worst person on the planet right now. But I can't for the life of me.
Okay, so I just want to
throw out another movie. I don't even know what it is. Should I go watch it?
Yeah, you should. But thanks for just throwing me under the bus right now.
Sorry, dude. You took a risk, and unfortunately, it was more awkward than awesome.
Yes. So now that,
but it was worth it, dude. I applaud you for taking the risk.
I tried. Okay.
I'm a missionary kid. That's my problem.
Okay. So you get to go back to the younger you.
Okay.
You get to go back in time, and you're going to give yourself some advice. Now you can't change what's going to happen to you in the future, but you can give yourself some advice knowing what you're going to go through. What age would you go back to, and what would you tell yourself?
Wow, dude, that's a powerful question. I would go back to about age 24, 23 maybe. It was the first year of being married, and I had a conversation with my wife, who at that time really did not know what she believed about the Holy Spirit, and specifically gifts or baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I was trying to convince her with every ounce of my own energy that she was not measuring up as a Christian because she hadn't yet been baptized. And she told me, she said something like, I'm not your Bible study, and I'm not interested in you selling me something kind of deal. And I remember that after that conversation with her, I told the Holy Spirit, I said, I will no longer operate in any of the gifts that you've given me because I would rather keep the peace between my wife and I.
Dude, you're operating in the gift of stupid.
Yeah, I absolutely was. I quenched the Holy Spirit and I told him I wasn't interested. And so in that moment, I can literally point to my life beginning slowly, but beginning to spiral. That's when I returned to drugs, to porn, to pride, all that stuff. And really all I should have said was, honey, I'm sorry that you and I disagree on this. Let's just pray and ask the Holy Spirit to open our eyes together. I want to walk in humility. Let's look at the word together and just study this and ask God to put us on the same page, you know, and maybe I'm the one that needs to grow, you know, and maybe I need to learn from you. And so I think that obviously now, being married 21 years, I've learned a thing or two. So yeah, man, that's a genius question. I'm sorry, dude, that I botched the movie question. I feel like I should have a do-over on another movie. Is there any other like attempt, or is that it? That was my one shot.
How about this? When I come on your show, we'll see if we can figure something out.
Nice. I'll come up. That's good. I'll come up with I'll try to stump you on a movie.
Okay. Sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That'd be good.
Chad, how do my listeners, as we wrap up the show right now, how do my listeners find you? I know you're going to be coming out with 1,000 Risks. You've got your ministry. I think it's chadisliving.com. I'll have links to all that, but man, tell my listeners how to find you and where to connect with you.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that the chadisliving.com is the easiest place, because from there you can find 1000risk.com, you can find comeandlive.com, you can go crazy.com. But I think the Chad is Living is a great starting point. And then from there, it ought to really capture my heart and help challenge others and equip others for a life of risk and just sort of growing into what does it mean to say yes to Jesus and no to fear and growing together. So yeah, man. So that'd be awesome.
Man. All right, Chad, I just want to tell you, thank you so much, dude, I know this was hard. You're about to head out and to make this work.
And, man,
for reaching out to me and coming on, man. So thank you so much.
Likewise. Thank you for having me, dude. It's my honor.
Absolutely. Chad, hold on just a second. Roar Nation, thank you so much for listening to today's show. Man, we love you. I want to hear more about what God's doing in your life. For those of you that send me emails every week, I do take time to respond to all of you, but no matter how long it takes, just because I love hearing your stories and what God is doing in your life. Please rate and review us in iTunes. Go to areyoureal.org. We will have all the show notes for today for Chad Johnson. You can find him, read the 1,000 Risks that's going to be coming out and all those. And also, do not forget, we are coming out with a book called Remodel Your Life. It is stories of how I have taken remodeling people's houses and how God has remodeled my life the last 18 years. It's going through revisions right now. It's powerful. If you will sign up for our newsletter, eventually that will turn into us sending you something for the book. So sign up for it. It's going to help you find purpose and all the things that God is doing. So again, I love you. Thank you. Be real, be authentic, and be you. God bless.
That's all for this episode of Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You. Be sure to go to areyoureal.org for your free questionnaire to identify your gifts and talents and how you can use them to help people become leaders and catapult them into their destiny to help others become the leaders of tomorrow. We appreciate you spending your time with us and look forward to helping you reach out and revolutionize next time on Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You.